Chapter 3. Everyone in Scotland hears about the king's death and feels sad. They talk about the murder and its possible reasons. Some people think the murder is part of a plan by one of Duncan's relatives. Also, they wonder who the next king will be. All the important men in Scotland have a meeting a few days after the murder. Angus, Ross and Macduff are at the meeting too. Ross asks, "Who is going to be our new king?" Another nobleman says, "What about Malcolm? He is Duncan's older son." Macduff does not want Malcolm to be the king. "Oh, but Malcolm and his brother are gone," he says. "They are not in Scotland anymore." Angus agrees with Macduff. He says, "Malcolm is in England now. He is worried about his own life. He is not worried about Scotland." Then, one of the lords says, "Maybe those two murderers are Malcolm's men." Finally, Ross suggests Macbeth as the new king. "I think Macbeth must be our new king. He is a very good soldier, and he is the general of our army," he says. Everyone at the meeting agrees. Ross says, "I am sure Macbeth will be a good king. We must make him the king." "Yes, Macbeth is our new king," they all shout happily. They are very excited. So they name Macbeth the king. They arrange a ceremony for him at the palace in Scone. Macbeth wears the king's crown there. Ross and all the other noblemen attend the ceremony, but not Macduff and Banquo. Now, Banquo is sitting alone in a big room in Macbeth's castle. He is thinking about Macbeth and the witch's words. "Macbeth has everything now," he says to himself. "He is the general of the army. He is the king. So, the witches are right. But perhaps he is the murderer of Duncan. I'm afraid Macbeth is not a good man. He is very ambitious." Then he remembers the witch's words about himself. He thinks those words will come true too. "I will be the father of kings, so my sons or grandsons will be kings. That means the crown will not be Macbeth's sons or grandsons." Just then, Macbeth and the Queen, Lady Macbeth, enter the big room. Behind them, there are many lords and ladies. They are all Macbeth's guests. They have their servants with them too. Macbeth looks at Banquo. "Oh, here's our most important guest," he says in a loud voice. Then he continues, "Tonight we are having a big banquet here. Can you join us, please?" "Of course, my highness. It will be my pleasure. It is also my duty to be at your banquet," answers Banquo. "Are you going riding this afternoon?" "Yes, my good lord, but I won't go very far. I will come back an hour after sunset." "Good. Don't forget about the banquet tonight," says Macbeth. Then he asks, "Are you riding alone, or is your son coming with you?" "He is coming with me, my lord," answers Banquo. Fleance and I usually go riding together. We're leaving very soon. Banco, do you know the news about Malcolm and Donalbain? Asks Macbeth suddenly. My lord, I hear that one of them is in England and the other one is in Ireland. That's true. They are hiding because they are the murderers of their father and they are causing trouble for us. They are telling lies to the King of Ireland and to the King of England. I will discuss this with you at a meeting tomorrow. See you at the banquet this evening. After Banquo leaves, Macbeth turns to the other guests and says, I will see you all at the banquet tonight. It begins at 7 o'clock. Until then, you can do as you wish. Everybody leaves the big room. One of the house servants stays with Macbeth. Are those two men still waiting for me? Macbeth asks that servant. Yes, my lord. They are waiting at the gate of the palace. Go and bring them to me, Macbeth says to the servant. Then he begins to think. I am the king now. I have everything. But Banquo is a problem for me. I am very afraid of him. And he remembers the witch's words. Banquo, the father of kings. Then he says to himself, Banquo is my enemy now. I don't want his sons to be kings after me. I must stop this. At that moment, the servant comes back with two men. Macbeth orders the servant to go out, and he begins to speak to the two men. I have an enemy. His name is Banquo. He's a nobleman, and everyone thinks he is a good man, but he is not. He must die, because he is dangerous for me. I have a plan. But I need your help. Do you understand? Yes, Your Highness, we do, answer the two men. It is our duty to help you. You will kill him tonight, says Macbeth. Banquo is coming to the palace for the banquet. His son is with him too. They are coming after sunset. You must kill Banquo and his son. His son must not live either. Wait outside the palace until sunset and kill them when they come near the palace. The two men leave and Lady Macbeth comes to speak to Macbeth. What is wrong with you, my dear husband? She asks. Duncan is dead and you are the king. We live in the palace. But you are not happy. You look worried all the time. You are right. I am worried. But I don't think about Duncan anymore. I have another problem now. It is Banquo and his son, Fleance. Come on, relax. You must look cheerful to the guests tonight. And remember, Banquo and his son can't live forever. Yes, I must look cheerful, and I must be very kind to Banquo. He must not understand my plan. What plan? Tell me, please. I don't want to tell you anything about my plan now. Wait until tonight. Now let's go and wait for our guests, Macbeth says. And they both go to the big dining room of the palace. The guests begin to arrive in groups. Macbeth and his wife greet them and talk to them cheerfully. It's nearly 7 o'clock. Banquo and Fleance are getting down from their horses at the palace gate. Suddenly, two strangers appear from behind the trees. Banco and his son can't see them because it is dark. The men attack Banco with their daggers. Banco shouts to his son, "Fleance, run, run, run away! They will kill you too." One of the two men stabs Banco and kills him. Fleance runs away and disappears in the dark. Just at 7 o'clock, Lady Macbeth leads the guests to the table and everyone sits in their chairs. At that moment, two men appear at the door of the dining room. Macbeth goes to the door and talks to them in a quiet voice. "There is blood on your face. Are you wounded?" he asks one of the men. "No, my lord. It is Banco's blood." "So, the job is done. That's very good news," Macbeth says with a smile. "Banco is dead now. Do not worry, my lord. And his body is lying in a ditch." "Great. Thanks for that. What about Fleance?" asks Macbeth fearfully. "Fleance is alive, my good lord. He is gone. He is hiding somewhere. We can't find him. It is very dark outside." Macbeth stops smiling. He is upset again. "That's terrible. Fleance will be a problem for us. You must leave immediately. We will talk again tomorrow." The two men are gone, and then Lady Macbeth comes to the door. "Is there a problem, my love?" she asks Macbeth. "Everyone is waiting for you at the table. Come and join us, please." Macbeth enters the dining room and walks to his chair at the table. But he stops suddenly. He is horrified. There is a ghost sitting in his chair. It is the ghost of Banco. Lady Macbeth and the guests do not understand why Macbeth is so afraid. "What is wrong, my lord?" asks one of the noblemen. "Which one of you is doing this to me?" asks Macbeth angrily. Then he looks at his chair and begins to speak to the ghost. "I am not your murderer. Stop looking at me and don't shake your bloody head." Everyone stares at Macbeth. They are startled. They think he is talking to the chair. Then Ross stands up and says, "Ladies and gentlemen, the king is not feeling well. We must all leave now." "Oh no, my dear friends, you must stay," says Lady Macbeth. "Please do not leave. My husband has an illness. He sometimes imagines things. He will feel well in a moment. Please eat your dinner and do not worry." Then she takes her husband out of the room. "What's the matter with you again?" she asks angrily. "Banco is sitting in my chair. Can't you see him? What is he doing here? He is a dead man now." "Are you crazy? Your chair is empty. I don't see anyone in it. You are imagining things again," says Lady Macbeth angrily. "What is happening to you? You see a dagger in front of you one day, and now you see a dead man in your chair. Let's go back to the table. Everyone is worried about you." Macbeth walks back to the table. He looks at his chair again, but the ghost is not there anymore, so he feels better. And he speaks to the guests. My dear friends, I am so sorry. Sometimes I don't feel well and I imagine things. I am all right now. Let's drink some wine and have a toast. The servants pour wine into everyone's glasses. Macbeth raises his glass and says, I drink to the happiness of everyone here and to Banquo. I am sorry that he is not here with us tonight. At that moment, he sees the ghost sitting in his chair again. Why are you here again? You are dead. Your body is cold and you have no blood. You must be in your grave. Leave me alone right now, he shouts at the ghost angrily. Now the guests are very worried. They all ask Lady Macbeth, Who is the king talking to? Why is he acting so strangely? Please do not ask any questions. The king is very ill this time. You must all leave now, very quickly. Lady Macbeth says to the guests, and they all begin to leave the palace. Lady Macbeth takes the king to the bedroom. Macbeth does not go to sleep. He begins to think again. Banquo is dead now, but perhaps I have other enemies. I think Macduff is my enemy too, he says to himself. You must sleep now. It is almost morning and you are very tired, says his wife. I can't sleep. I am very unhappy. Everything is wrong. I am worried about my future. Tomorrow I must find those three witches and talk to them, says Macbeth, and goes to bed.